Praise God. Thank you for your giving today. It means so very much. And not just the offering itself, but the things that people do here, the people that clean, the people that mow the yard, the people that get bathrooms unstuck when they get stuck. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. We appreciate you so much. And people that just are willing and available, if we ask you to do something, you would come do anything that you could. We thank you. And I want to thank you for the encouragement. Praise God. I was looking for him a special chair just because he called me up and encouraged me on the phone. There's others that email me encouragement, and I'm a blessed pastor, and I count you as a big part of my blessing. Praise the Lord, and I appreciate you from the bottom of my heart. I did. I thought about you a special chair. I just wanted you're right there in the amen corner. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. It won't be much different than the others. It's just, yeah, nobody wants to be that close to me. Yeah. Without a towel. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I've been ministering from the book of Acts not long ago about a prayer, and we're not going to the book of Acts. Actually, we're going to Luke 23, 44 and 45, Matthew 27, 51 through 53. Rather than reading a lot, we're just going to touch on these four wonders of the cross for just a little while, because it's so fitting to bring this right into our communion service today. One of the things we've been bringing from the book of Acts is that the early church, when the gospel was threatened, it wasn't just their threatening that they were praying about. They did threaten them. They threatened them straightly. They would have killed them already, but they feared the people. Early on, the persecution came very strongly against the church and the gospel. Man at the gate beautiful is healed and everybody's rejoicing. The next thing you know, the leaders of the church are standing before the leaders of the Sanhedrin, and they're accusing them and threatening them. And the Bible said they would have killed them, but they feared the people because they could not deny that a notable miracle had been wrought upon the lame man. But they told them, do not preach or teach in the name of Jesus Christ anymore. Don't do it. Now, it's very important we understand the spirit that's at work in this world is not anti-religion as a generic term. Satan loves false religion. He would rather people embrace a false religion than to get into atheism. Atheism creates a vacuum. This lady we were talking to yesterday, clearly, growing up in an atheistic home where this lady had some issue with God and Christ, her mother, she is absolutely a candidate for salvation, soaking up anything from the gospel. And we probably are not there so much for our health's sake as we are to minister in the process, to get out where the people are, praise God, that need the ministry. But it creates a vacuum. In Russia for years, atheistic Marxism and communism. And as a result of that, a great move of God in Soviet Russia. It got so powerful at one point that Bibles by the tens of thousands were being sent to Russia to give out to people who wanted to know about God and about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. It happened in Bosnia, but we were warned by missionaries to Bosnia that our missionaries, in the sense of the Protestant faith, amen, are not the only missionaries going there. There's missionaries from cults that are going in too and trying to get involved in this vacuum. Amen. The devil wants to promote false religion more than godless atheism. He loves them both, but if he has a choice, give them a false God and a false security and a false assurance rather than leave them empty, because empty people are candidates for God to fill. Yes. Can you say amen? So it creates a vacuum. A great vacuum was created for anything spiritually in China. Amen. For years, Marxism, communism. And what happens? Mighty revival just explodes in China. Amen. And it's still ongoing today. Persecuted, church having to go underground, but the gospel being preached, 20,000 people a day coming to Christ in China, upsetting the security of the government there because now they want to kill the baby before it grows to manhood. Kill it while it's still in the manger. That means stop this early church. So when the disciples were threatened physically with physical death and punishment after they had threatened them, then they let them go, and when they came back, they said, Lord, behold their threatenings. And not just their threatenings to their body. Listen, they were prepared to lay down their life, and later on they did lay down their life. The threat was that if the church pulls back, that the gospel is going to slowly die out. And it's not going to thrive, and it's not going to go to the nations of the world. Behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servants that we never be hurt, we never be harmed, we never be persecuted. No, it wasn't about them. It was about his gospel, his word, his kingdom. Amen. Stretch forth thy hand. Behold their threatenings. And stretch forth thy hand to heal. And that signs and wonders be done in the name of thy holy child Jesus. It is not wrong to pray and ask God, in light of the threat to the gospel, to qualify, to clarify, and to confirm his truth with signs following. Everybody grabs one scripture to people who are looking for a reason not to believe and demanding a sign that they might believe. And Jesus said, a sinful world, an unrighteous world is looking for a sign, but no sign shall be given it except one. The sign of the prophet Jonah, as he was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so the Son of Man will be like that in the earth and be resurrected. The resurrection is the single sign to people demanding a sign, and they won't even listen to that. We know they won't listen to that. Because when Lazarus died and went to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man died, and they could see across that gulf between paradise and this place of torment, he said, send Lazarus to my brothers. Tell them not to come to this place. And he said, in other words, that heart of unbelief, if they won't believe those that came to tell them, that are alive and telling them that I sent them, they will not believe though one be raised from the dead. We're seeing that today. Christ is raised from the dead, but people still refuse to believe the gospel. But that's not the end of this sign thing. They said, Lord, stretch forth your hand. They said, Lord, we're going to preach this gospel, but there's a threat here. The threat is here today, and it's not the threat of me being physically, well, I have been threatened with death, but it wasn't by the government or any of those powers. But listen, the threat is not about me. The threat is about the gospel. The gospel is threatened today. And we're seeing so many false things go forth that doesn't have the power to save. We've got preachers that are preaching to tens of thousands that don't even know yet that Jesus is the only way to God. And now that they do know it, they won't proclaim it. They refuse to put themselves under the gun to proclaim the truth. And we're in danger in another generation of having a pseudo-gospel that's similar to the real, but it doesn't have the saving element in it. And the saving element is the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus. For without the shedding of His blood, there's no remission of sin. And there's no name given under heaven by which men can be saved except the name of Jesus. I'm sorry, Buddhism can't get you to heaven. Amen. None of these other isms can get you to heaven. Can you say amen? There's one way to heaven. And it's not just because I'm a Christian. It's because it was His blood that was shed on the cross. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. And without the shedding of blood, there is no sacrifice for sin. The world church is forming. Behold, they're threatening. Is the gospel threatened? You better believe it is. Because it's not the gospel that was once delivered to the saints. The saving and the sanctifying power of it. I said the saving and the sanctifying power. Hallelujah. When you get saved, God don't want to leave you under the devil's influence any longer. Whom the Son sets free, He's not just part of the way free. He is free for real. Everybody say free for real. Everybody say free for Rizzle. Amen. You're really free. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. But what happens when you get saved? You are translated. Amen. Saw the bumper sticker the other day. Scotty, beam me up. There's no intelligent life down here. Can you say amen? Wouldn't it be great if God just beamed us up? Listen, he said, no, Father, I do not pray. Yeah, the time will come, we're going to get beamed up. But the time isn't yet. We're in the kingdom for a time such as this. Amen. But listen, God has translated us out of one kingdom. He has set us in another kingdom. And these kingdoms are in conflict. If there's struggle going on, hallelujah for it. If there's a battle going on between you and the culture, thank God for it. If the flesh and the spirit are in conflict, hallelujah. I want to tell you, you can win this war. Amen. But you can't be a Christian without the conflict. I'm going to tell you something else too. No man that warreth. And we are at war. Make no mistake about it. Amen. We argue against, not against flesh and blood, but powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places, and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Can you say amen? But we have the armor of God. We can put on Jesus Christ, hallelujah, and put on the armor of light to withstand the prince of darkness. I got the armor of light last night to see behind my computer. It was so dark I couldn't see the wires and my printer had become unhooked. And I went in and got a little bitty flashlight. I have to go steal one from my wife because I can never find mine. I have bought 4 flashlights. I can't tell you where one of them is. But I always know where hers is. And I am warned. And I am warned sternly. You better bring it back. You better put it back where you got it. Amen. Because she knows I'll lose it. And I need it to be where I put it. Her to make me put it back. Because then I know I can always find at least one flashlight. Amen. But it's amazing. It's a little old flashlight about that long. It's got 2 little bitty batteries in it. And it's dark back in that area behind the computer, but when I turn that light on, it don't matter how dark it is, it don't matter how thick the darkness is, that little light just shattered the darkness. Praise God, hallelujah, amen. Listen, God wants us to be able to trust Him and call upon Him to see Him confirm His Word. I want to see people saved and delivered and set free. That's part of the confirming of the Word. I want to see the sick healed again. That's part of the confirm. They actually got specific, didn't they? Stretch forth your hand to do what? The major sign, amen, that God used to confirm the gospel. The healing of the sick. It was the lame man at Gate Beautiful that caused such a stir. Yes, amen? Yes. It was his leaping, running, and praising God that upset the devil. He said, listen, this gospel is not coming just in correct theology alone. It's coming in power. It's coming in the Holy Ghost. And there's much assurance because God is working in this thing. Yes. Stretch forth your hand to do what? To heal. And that signs and wonders be done in the name of thy holy child Jesus. In my name you will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. In my name you will cast out devils. Hallelujah. We got such a counseling staff and they're clinically certified to figure you out. Amen. And they got this outline, and you sound like I've been there, don't it? Amen. But I know they got this outline. My son's been there. They got this outline they're going to lay down. They're going to ask you a series of questions. And if they can't figure out, they're going to try to make you think that you blotted out something from your past that you should be remembering but refuse to. But they're going to try to force you to. They're going to try to tell you that you were sexually abused, whether you were or whether you wasn't, because something has screwed you up, and it couldn't be sin, and it couldn't be Satan. Can you say amen? So it must be something else that you're denying. Because we don't deal with sin or Satan. We got to deal with something we can get our mind around and get a handle on and give you a pill for. Amen? Amen? Now, I'm not against Christian psychology because it's going to deal with the spirit realm. If we don't deal with the spirit realm, we can't deal with it correctly. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something. There was a man with a legion of devils in him. But when Jesus set him free, he was free for real. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And how did he express his freedom? He sat down at Jesus' feet in his right mind. I signed that contract yesterday for a month. And the lady said, "You're left-handed too." I said, "That's right." She said, "Did you realize that only left-handed people are in their right mind?" I said, "I thought there was something wrong with all these other folks." The church is full of all kinds of counsel based on the knowledge that man can give. And listen, no man knoweth the spirit of a man, but the spirit of God himself. Amen. Amen. Listen to me. This is not a one-size-fits-all thing. Can you say amen? God knows what this man needs today. And God knows what this man needs. He may need a hug around the neck, and I may need a kick between the pockets. And only God knows which one that... Well, yes, sometimes we're chastened. Amen? It could happen. Maybe the Lord wants to get my attention, and he knows how to get it. But maybe this man doesn't need, you know, something to whack him upside the head. Maybe he needs a hug. Well, we got a book over here about how God's going to whack you. Got a book over here about how God will never whack you. He'll only hug you. Amen. And the fact is, God knows what you need. Some things I preach is going to be a kick between the pockets through your flesh. Other things I preach is designed to just melt your heart. Praise God. Amen. So if it's strong and you feel that's not for me, but be careful. Amen. Amen. But if you feel it, then that's not for you. Just pray for whoever it's for. Can you say amen? But I'm going to tell you something today. God knows what you have need of. And I believe we need the power back in the church. I believe prayer needs to be effectual again. I believe when we pray over needs, listen, is any afflicted? What are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to grab a book, a tape, a 15-step on how to get... What are we supposed to do if we're afflicted? I'm talking about you are under pressure. You're under the gun. It's not about physical. If you're sick, you call the elders. If you're sick in your body, call the elders. But if you got pressure and torment in your mind and soul, is any afflicted? Is any afflicted? Is any afflicted? Let him pray. Teach him to pray. He's got a God who loves him. He's got a God who says that he can give you peace that passes all understanding if you'll trust everything to him. Hallelujah. We got a God that can heal your heart. And the Bible said he's able to keep you and me in perfect, perpetual, uninterrupted peace. If our mind is stayed on him, can you say amen? Because we trust in him. Give him a clap offering. Praise God. Hallelujah. You have seen my peace interrupted. But I didn't get it back. Listen, I went through nervous exhaustion. I had to lose my peace to go through nervous exhaustion. I had to assume some responsibility and not just blame the church and the family circumstances and the life circumstances. And so easy to point the finger. And believe me, those circumstances contributed to my exhaustion that I went through. But I had to begin to assume personal responsibility for my reaction to all of these negative things. Can you say amen? I had to rediscover the God of all comfort. Can you say amen? And the God of peace. And it's not that I never lose it. I do. And I hate it when that happens. Because I feel like I've been going so good. I've been handling the pressure so well. And I'm feeling so good. And then something happens and I say, wow. Where in the world did that come from? Where did that discouragement come from? You know, I heard a pastor telling the story the other day, and he's such a, he just uses humor in such a wonderful way, but he's got all kinds of issues in his life, all kinds of critical things going on in his family, enough to break you down and wear you out, but he's still up for Jesus, but he goes through those times and those battles, but he was talking about discouragement, and he said there was a wagon train going through the West, and they had never seen a buffalo in their life. Never even seen a picture of a buffalo. And they were coming along from the east, you know, headed west, these pioneers. And two buffalo were grazing in the plains as they went through the plains. And they pulled up and stopped and looked at these two creatures. And the man turned to his wife and said, "Look at those things. I have never seen anything so ugly in all of my life. Those things are ugly animals. Oh, no one would believe it if we told them how ugly those things are. I don't even know what they are, but I know one thing. They're ugly. And they took on off. And one buffalo looked at the other and said, I think we just heard a discouraging word. Amen. Honey, you're going to hear a lot of discouraging words, and it ain't all going to come from the world. Can you say amen? You're going to hear it all around you. Listen to me carefully. God is the God of all comfort. He has a peace to offer that passes understanding. If we keep denying that confirming power that God is offering us that can be seen in our life, we're going to start easing towards Saul's armor. Amen. Listen to me. Saul's armor is the last thing David needed in the day of battle, because it would have protected him in the natural, but it had nothing to protect him in the supernatural. Can you say amen? You can't blend, amen, the power of God with all the wisdom of men, for the foolishness of God, amen, is wiser than the wisdom of men, and the weakness of God is stronger than the strength of men. So don't let the wise man glory in his wisdom, or the mighty man his might, or the rich man his money, amen. But he that glorieth, let him glory in this, that he knows and understands me, saith God. Hallelujah. They that do know their God will be strong, and they will do exploits. And the eyes of the Lord are doing what today? Running to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward him. Can you say amen? God wants to get the church back to a place where he through us can confirm his word. And we can be part of the signs that follow it. Hallelujah. Did it ever occur to you that God wants to make you a sign? Amen? Hallelujah. Living epistles, written and read of all men. Praise God. Hallelujah. Transform lives. Hallelujah. People with peace when the whole world can't find it or buy it at any price become a significant sign that Christ can do what he promised. When he sets people free, he does it indeed. He does it for real. Can you say amen? His anointing is a liberating anointing. Amen. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Can you say amen? Everybody without exception. Hallelujah. If there's demonic oppression, there's an answer. The anointing that's on Jesus breaks the yoke, and that anointing has been conferred to us. So that the Jesus ministry wasn't ever supposed to stop just because he went up, because he said, I'll send you another one down. As my Father sent me, so send I you. How did he send him? He anointed him with the Holy Ghost. Did he not? Amen. Praise God. So the church today is becoming very articulate, intelligent, very good at giving counsel, and they just had a purge a few years back in the Southern Baptist Convention, because in their college for training ministers and people getting their full degrees, they had degrees in counseling, degrees in psychology, all these things, so you can be a good pastor. You know, you get a little bit of Freud and a little bit of Jesus and a little bit of an atheist professor. They had atheist professors teaching in a Bible college. And people are getting under these influences to go out and stand behind these desks. And if you think the gospel is going to come in power and God's going to confirm a little bit of him and a whole lot of them, can you say, man, you're very wrong. Amen. Very wrong. Very mistaken. Is any afflicted? Is any afflicted? Is any afflicted? See, we altars are ornamental in churches. They have absolutely no use. You sit stuff on them like shelves. They're ornamental. You don't see Christians bowing at altars seeking God, because I got an appointment to see Mr. Know-it-all. Can you say, man, Mr. Know-it-all is going to fix it all for me. Honey, if you are not in a relationship where you can pray and get a prayer through, nobody can fix it for you. None of those steps are going to fix it for you. None of that confession is going to work for you. Amen. Boy, listen, if you can't pray and get relief. Is any afflicted? Let him pray. Why? Because God said, I'll listen. God said, I'll answer. God said, my hand's not short. It can reach you. My ear's not heavy. It can hear you. Hallelujah. Woo! We have no prayer life. We want somebody to inject joy in us, inject peace into us. Can't do it. If you're sick in your body, let them call for the elders. Let them anoint them with oil and lay hands on them. Amen. But are you afflicted? Get a fellowship relationship with God to where you and God have a connection. God loves you. God loves me. I went all over the country looking for hands to be laid on me when I was afflicted. Going through nervous exhaustion, Satan was tormenting me with fear. And I went everywhere, man. I got in, as my aunt used to say, you need to go down to Henny Pins. Henny Pins. And I got in meetings anywhere there was a healing anointing or a deliverance anointing. I went here. I went there. I went here. I went there. I went to Atlanta. I went to conferences. I went everywhere. I went to PTL when it was thriving. I got under everybody that was had a healing touch, a healing ministry, a healing anointing. God didn't heal me through any of them. He decided, I'm not going to heal you through anybody's anointing. I want this between you and me. Amen. Amen. There's some things God wants to establish between you and Him. I love Paul's attitude in ministry with all of his anointing, Jimmy. Because he said, when he went down to minister in one circumstance, he said, I want to impart unto you some spiritual gift. Your boy ears pick up an impartation of gifts. Oh, yes. Amen. I don't want to fast, pray, seek God, develop spiritually, deny my flesh, take up my cross. I just want somebody to come along with all of my fleshly hang-ups and just impart to me all nine of the spiritual gifts. Woo! You got it, girl. Run for Jesus now. No. That's not what he was talking about. There's a gift better than just the charismata, the gifts of the Spirit. Listen, there's something better, something bigger, amen, that God wanted to do. Something more intimate and more personal than just an anointing. Paul said, I want to impart unto you some spiritual gift to this end, that you might be established. I looked up that word established. You know what it is? It's to be at one with another. He said, I want you to get wrapped up in me, and I want to get wrapped up in you. Can you say amen? I want you to know your God. I want you to be able to talk to me. I want you to be able to come to me. I want you to be able to call upon my name. And I want to answer you. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want intimacy with you. As we develop, as your faith develops, I want more than just you believing me. I want you walking with me. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to establish you in the faith. Established Christians know their God. Amen. There's no coattail religion that'll keep you established. You might get a little break somewhere through somebody's anointing. You're going to go right back in your cage that Satan holds you in, your prison house, until you meet the Master personally, until you get real with Him and get right with Him. But the day that you do, amen, He said, who the Son sets free is free indeed. For the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He said, listen, when he began his public ministry, we'll get to these four things and some other time. Hallelujah. God's clearly changed my message, but that's okay. Hallelujah. It's the right message for this people, for this moment. Praise God. What does this have to do with communion? Everything. Because God is after intimate communal relationship with you. Hallelujah. He doesn't just want you to use a force of faith to get a force up there somewhere to give you something manifest that you can see, to take the invisible, make it visible so I can get my Mercedes and make it manifest. That Mercedes is sitting out there somewhere in the invisible world. But by faith, I'm going to reach out into that invisible world, and I'm going to grab my Mercedes, and that Mercedes is going to manifest in this world. Oh, the power of faith. God wants to, big shovel. Praise God, and boots up to here, hip boots. Listen to me. That's so crazy. God wants a relationship with you. Amen. Paul said, I'm not just coming here to see how many people, amen, can get the charismata of my anointing. I'm coming here to hook you up with God, amen, in a personal walk. So when I go, you have a relationship and you are established, you're made one with Him. Can you say amen? He will keep them. Perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on thee. Because he trusts in thee.
Hallelujah.
Film came out. It's R-rated. I didn't even want to go there. But a film came out some years ago called Prozac Generation. We are a pill. We've got pills for peace. And I understand that. When I get a headache, and if I take a ibuprofen, if I took ibuprofen when my rib was cracked, I was glad to get it. Don't get me wrong. But I'll tell you, one night I got down in the floor, and none of the pain stuff. I had something with codeine in it and everything else, and none of it worked. I got gas trapped from inside, pressing out onto those ribs, and I got down on my hands and knees. And I thought about, amazingly, as much as I wanted sympathy for my pain, I thought about Him. I thought, Lord, I'm in such pain right now. This pain is excruciating. This pain, if I thought that there would be no relief from this pain, I just let me close my eyes and take me on to heaven. It's excruciating. It's just excruciating pain and no relief at that point. And I began to pray because I knew everything they gave me couldn't stop the pain. The pain overrode, superseded all of that. And I thought about Jesus on the cross while I was down there. And I thought, this is nothing. I know this is nothing. I can't stand this. I'd do about anything to get out of this world of pain. But this is nothing compared to what you were experiencing on that cross. And I thanked Him. In that pain, I thanked Him. Amen. But I prayed for mercy and I prayed for grace. And God, as He always does, just it let up just enough to make it bearable. Grace don't take it all away all the time immediately.
That's right.
But it lets up enough to make it bearable. Listen, people are wanting a pain-free life down here. Jesus said in this world, you're going to have thelpsis, thelpsis, tribulation, thelpsis. And it means pain, anguish, pressure, and trouble. Is anyone here biblical enough to identify with that? Have you ever tribulated? Can you say amen? Have you ever known heartache, heartbreak, pressure, persecution? In this world, in this fallen world, in your faulty body. How many know you got a faulty body?
Oh, yeah.
Got picture you 20 years ago, picture you now. This body is not staying the same. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Things are changing. Things are going south. Someone said the south will rise again. I say, I doubt it. However, they do have a glute machine, and I may get on that. Listen. The church once had the power. The church once had God working with them as they preached the gospel, confirming the word. We got preachers today so good at it, we don't need the Holy Spirit to show up. We're so highly educated, so eloquent, so good at dividing the scripture properly that we don't seem to need God to show up. But I'm going to tell you something. The gainsaying world out there is not listening to our intelligent approach to, even though it's the very truth of God. Amen. Somebody said, we got a full Bible. We got the full revelation. We don't need wonders or miracles anymore. Honey, it doesn't matter how full the revelation is. The devil is still oppressing people. Can you say amen? The devil didn't say, well, they got a Bible now, and they don't have any confirming power, and no one is laying hands on the sick, and no one is casting out devils in the church. It just wouldn't be fair for me to continue to oppress people. It wouldn't be a level playing ground. And you know how fair-minded I am. I'm just not going to blind anybody anymore. And I'm not going to bind anybody anymore. And I'm not going to oppress anybody anymore. We got a preacher with a PhD. We don't need the power of God. I wish that was just denominational churches and we in Pentecost could say it's different. But Pentecostal churches have got big shots in the pulpit too. Amen. Hallelujah. That I wouldn't take my dog to for prayer. And I do pray for my animals when they get sick. My big old Sophie dog, she ate a... You ever seen one of those big... I got my wife, I think, for Valentine's Day one year. It was a big 1 pound Hershey Kiss. 1 pound. Oh, wow. Just looking at that makes my saliva just start flowing. Amen. That big old 1 pound. And this dog found it in the box, tore the box open. I left it out, but it was in the box. I left it sitting. The dog did get it. She tore it out of the box. She ate the whole thing. It's supposed to be toxic. I called the vet. The vet says, what kind of chocolate, dark or light? I said, light chocolate. How big's your dog? You know, because she could visualize this. This is a huge dog. I said, this dog is big. She said, well, maybe. There's a chance. She said, go get peroxide. Pour it down the dog's throat. Make her throw it up. Oh, that was fun. So I took my dog out. She loved me too. She loved me. She's out there. But I held her. She loved me. And Pamela opened her mouth and poured that peroxide down her throat. Her eyes rolled like Petey's. Remember Petey on the Little Rascal? He only got one eye rolling. Amen. My dog, both eyes started rolling. Yeah, see what she threw up? So we had to run with a flashlight, and she tore off. And then, listen, this old dog don't run no more. She just lay around. She run that night. She took off running. Amen. My wife with the flashlight, she never did throw up that chocolate, and she never did die. We did pray for her, though. We prayed for that dear old dog. Praise God. I thought, dear Lord, here I am praying for a dog. Some churches, they don't even pray for the sick saints. Can you say amen? Here I am out here praying for my old dog, God healing my old dog. Praise God. Amen. She didn't have any of the symptoms. You should have heard the symptoms, scary symptoms. You know, like stuff all over the floor symptoms and all of those kind of symptoms. Amen. She didn't do any of those things she was supposed to do for eating a whole pound of chocolate. And she didn't die on top of that. Praise God. Amen. She got a caffeine high and a sugar high. Amen. So I sat up with this old dog and just wouldn't lay down, just wouldn't quit, just in case she got sick. But God didn't let her get sick. And I thought, Lord, here we are praying for a pet. Here we are praying for a dog. Amen. Amen. And your work, you're compassionate, good God that answers prayer. Amen. I believe he touched my old dog here. My old dog, he would have been dead. And amen, I'd have had to dig a big hole in the backyard. Hallelujah. But listen to me. God healing a dog. Amen. But the church don't believe that the people need. We don't need the gospel confirmed. We're too good at it, Brother Taylor. We're too smart. We're too intelligent. We're too eloquent. We're too educated. Amen. We can tell you everything it means. We can tell you the Greek, the Hebrew, the Chaldean. We can tell you what it means in the Aramaic. We can dissect every word and we can deliver it beautifully. And I mean the choir. Have you seen our choir? Look at that. Wow. They're so beautiful. Their robes, they stand just like they're supposed to stand. They hit the high note. Did you hear them hit the high note? Pressure of living in a faulty body in a fallen world demands that God help us. We got to have God to help us. We went to the counselors. We submitted ourselves to the anointed ministers. Is any afflicted? Let him pray. If he don't know how to pray, there's your target to help him. If he don't have a relationship with me so he can pray, there's your target. We're in America. We're in a consumer-driven society. And it's come into the church. We want an evangelist, come on, that does all the praying, fasting, seeking, reading, and anointing. We want a line, and we just want to get in that line. And walk down and say, you're all screwed up. You are messed up. You're crazy as a loon. God, touch him. Amen. And he's fine now. My Lord, he's great now. Amen. Everything is fine. My touch took care of it all. Is any afflicted? Call the elders. Call Paul. Call Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. No. Let him call on the Lord. Well, he don't know how to do that, or he can't do that. Then there's your problem. There's your problem. That can't be fixed with the laying on of hands. That can only be fixed when somebody gets real and gets right with God. Everybody say, get real and get right with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're over-dependent on the charismata and under-dependent on the Christ that delivered us. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. When he began his ministry, he opened the book at the book of Isaiah. He began to read directly, distinctly from the book of Isaiah. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he hath anointed me to set the captive free. He's anointed me to set at liberty those that have been bruised. And he has anointed me, amen, to preach the gospel to the poor of spirit. Not just the poor in terms of earthly goods, but blessed are the poor in spirit. Why? Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The poor in spirit. Can you say amen? God, happy to be envied when you're poor in spirit. Because then you're humble before the Lord. He's not dealing with an old hard head that wants to be stubborn and self-willed but wants God's blessing. You can't be prideful, stubborn, and self-willed and have God's blessing. No one can inject those things into you. You have to bow before him personally. Hallelujah. But when you do, he's going to be your God. Hallelujah. And he's going to help you. And that right early. Praise God. God will come through. So Paul said, I don't want to leave this church with a bunch of prayer cloths. I want to leave this church with a relationship with the Father. I want to leave this church established in faith in Jesus. I want to teach them how to look to Jesus, who is the what? The author and the finisher of their faith. Hallelujah. The faith will thrive without the anointed minister with all the gifts, visions, and dreams. Because they know Christ and they walk with him. The church without power has to subsidize. And it becomes strongly entertaining. Because there's nothing supernatural going to happen from beginning to end. I've seen people run out of here under conviction. I don't thank God they ran out, but I thank God God showed up. Amen. And they wasn't comfortable. Amen. Can you say, man, they didn't sit here in the back seat and slate on their way to hell and feel like it's just fine? Because I really enjoyed that service. Listen, God called me to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Amen. Can you say, man? There's no doubt about it. I want people to feel uneasy in here if you're not saved. I don't want you to feel calm. Amen. Listen, there are people that won't come here because, and one of the highest compliments we get, there's a lady that's told us over and over, when I'm not right with God, I don't come to your church. It's not that she don't go to church, she just don't come to this one. She said, you know why? I said, why? She said, because I know I'm going to be convicted.
Hallelujah.
I said, thank the Lord. But how crazy is that? I want to go to a church where I'm not convicted when I'm compromised. So when I don't see her here, I assume. One can only assume. Feel good church. Oh, we got them by the dozen. Dr. Feelgood. Amen. That's what the pastor's name ought to be. Amen. He's articulate. He knows his homiletics, his hermeneutics. He's got it down. He's able to deliver that message, a timely message. And I'm not just talking about, amen, appropriate for the occasion, but I'm talking about the clock on the wall. Can you say amen? It stops. And this is not just in nominal churches. Amen. People are busy people. We ain't got time for God, but we want him to have time for us. Can you say amen? So at a gnat's eyebrow of 12, everybody's getting antsy. It don't matter what's going on. It don't matter if God wants to heal the sick, save the lost, and deliver the oppressed. They're getting antsy. I got places to go, people to see, things to do. After all, this is my day. Oh, this is the Lord's day, Christian. Newsflash, this is not your day. Newsflash, this is not your day if you're a Christian. You didn't get that newsflash. I can tell you didn't get it. Because you feel like you owe it to yourself. But God owes you everything. You don't owe him the time of day, but God owes you everything. So where's me a line to get in? Because you certainly couldn't have any relationship with him with that attitude. You better find a line somewhere and hope that God has mercy on you, because you're not hooked up with him. You don't honor him. You don't bow to him. He's second to everything else in your life until there's a crisis. But then we want God to come through, and they got preachers saying, it's all right here, honey. Just drop in when you can. Get all you can and can all you get. Amen? Come and get it. Let me tell you something. The church in America is anemic spiritually. Amen. We're easily Amen. Tempted, easily tormented, and easily discouraged. It took me about 37 years to get into deep discouragement, but believe me, when it came and it hit me hard. I've had it all along the way, but when it got deep, it hit me hard. Harder than I thought it could ever hit me. And if I didn't have a relationship with Jesus personally, I wouldn't be preaching today. I wouldn't be standing here today. I've got the courage to tell you the truth, because God wants you set free. He loves you. Don't let nobody pet you and tell you that they're loving you. Amen. They're just trying to keep you in good standing for the offering and for the head count and for whatever other reason. God wants more than that. He don't want you to just sit in the building. He wants a real relationship with you, so that when you pray, things can happen in your life. He can help you. He can come through. He can give you peace and joy like he promised. If we don't get the power back, then we are left to our own devices. And we talk about this God of glory, this God of grace, this God of power. But people's lives are not affected. And we stay dependent upon the world about us. And we call it church in America. We've got the audacity to say we've been to church, because a choir sang and a preacher delivered a message, and it was just high impact, and it was upbeat, and we all came in like we are. We went out like we are, unchallenged and unchanged. Come on. And we go back to our old patterns, settle back into our old patterns where we are comfortable. We're comfortable to complain. Comfortable complaining. That should not be a comfort zone for Christians. This is the day the Lord has made. I purpose in my heart, I'm going to live differently than the world about me. My God is on the throne and my God is in control. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I will rejoice and be glad in this day. Amen. Oh, but I've been hurt, Brother Benville. Join the club. Come on. You're not the only one. Can you say amen? Grow up. We all get hurt. Can you say amen? But God is still God when we're hurt. Hallelujah. He's still on the throne. Oh, but they done me wrong. Of course they did you wrong. When you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, get down, get way down, get down in the doldrums. Rejoice. And be. You ought to be the most shouting person here. Instead of the most pouting person here. But you don't know what I'm going through. Oh no, but I know who knows what you're going through. And he said, whatever you're going through, his grace is sufficient. That's one of those tis or taint scriptures. Either tis or it taint. Can you say amen? Well, if it taint, God's a liar. If it is, then we need to discover it, praise God. And we need to draw from it. I got to tell you this about grace, and we'll hurry and get into communion this morning. Grace. I looked at that. I said, how in the world, when I am down in this hole this deep and need Jesus to pull me out, is the word grace, the acronym for grace, going to help me? If you write grace on a chalkboard, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. Okay, I got it. Where does that lodge? Where does that lodge, that acronym? Where's that lodge initially? Right here. Amen. I understand grace now. No, you don't. You don't know what grace is all about. You can't get pulled out of a hole with an understanding of an acronym for grace. Well, it's God's unmerited favor. All I have to do, my mantra for the day is God's unmerited favor, God's unmerited favor, God's unmerited. No. Grace has opened a door to the presence of God. When Paul said his grace is sufficient, it had to be the manifest presence of God. I believe in that jail cell, Jesus was in there with them. This is fresh on my mind. I got to tell it and close it. We'll hurry. We got an oil rig that blew up. And oil still spewing into the Gulf of Mexico. Man can't figure it all out. Man's money and ingenuity can't solve everything. And we're discovering it every day more and more. That we need God. We need God to show up at church. We need him in our world. We need him in our nation. We need him in our lives.
Yes, we do.
Amen? Yeah, absolutely. But a few years ago, an oil rig in the Gulf fell over, but it didn't create what this did. But a man was in it, and it sunk 5,280 feet. And he's trapped in an air pocket in jet black darkness. I'll talk to you about grace a minute. We're going to receive communion. All this is about a relationship with God that actually makes a difference.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. He will keep them. And what kind of peace? Perfect, perpetual peace. Whose mind is what? Stayed on him because we what? We trust in him for everything. We trust him with it. We trust God with what's bothering us. To the degree that he can relieve the pressure from us and the burden from us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your understanding. Peace of mind comes immediately. When we keep trying to figure it out, there's no peace there. But when we give it to God and quit trying to figure it out, peace suddenly arrives. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Listen to me carefully. God wants you to know that peace. He wants you to show that peace, and he wants me to do it. I've lost it before, but I scramble to get it back. When my heart is overwhelmed within me, my prayers lead me to that rock that is higher than I. For the Lord has never failed to be a refuge for me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Listen. Where was I? We'll finish. The man is in the oil rig. Let's get him out of the ocean. How about it? If he gets out. He's at the bottom of the sea. He's alone in a little bitty air pocket. And the air is running out. He knows there's only so much oxygen. His head is barely above water. And he's trapped down there. He said he prayed and he cried out to God. And he said a presence came into that area with him. Not a visible presence, but a presence more real than anyone or anything you can see. I have his name at home. It was published. He said, I knew without anyone telling me it was Jesus. And said, the moment, he said, he couldn't really fully describe the panic and the fear. Can you imagine being in the dark, in the water, in a little airspace, 1 mile under the sea. Or close to wherever this was. It was deep. It was in the Gulf. Years ago. He said, Jesus was there with me. I can't explain it, he said. But I knew it was him. And when he came, he said, a peace came over me. When he came, a peace. Say it with me. When he came. A peace came over me. I believe peace, biblical peace, and God's presence go hand in hand. I don't believe it's like Novocaine. I loves Novocaine. Amen. If the doctor's going to work on my teeth, the dentist, I want the shot in the gums. I had an abscess. He was going to pull it. He gave me a shot in the gums. He said, "Do you feel that?" When he said that and tapped my tooth, I went, "Ah!" I didn't have to say, "Yes, I feel it." It was bad. So he said, "We're going to have to give you another shot." And I said, "Please." And he, another one. He said, and he was convinced then, two big doses of Novocaine that he'd got it. And he went, bonk. And, oh, I couldn't through. Oh, man, I felt like my head was going to explode. He said, "But we can't numb this thing." And he's just standing. And I said, "Well, doctor, why don't you give me some antibiotics to help get the swelling down and get the abscess under control? And then when that goes down, maybe, you know." And he said, And I thought, "Wait a minute. You know, you're going to charge me for this." And you say, and I'm telling you what to do. "Lord, give me a word of wisdom, and I'm going to pay him through the nose." He's not even a nose doctor. Can you say amen? And so I went and he got the prescription filled that I suggested, that he wrote the prescription for. And sure enough, the pain was gone pretty soon because the swelling went down. After about 5 days, the abscess was down. Still needed pulling. But I didn't go back to him for more shots and more craziness. I went to an oral surgeon. I love the oral surgeon. Pay through the nose, but it was worth every dime. I'll sell my TV, but take me to an oral surgeon. Because he ain't going to give me no shot in the gums. He's going to give me a little IV right here. It's going to be a little bitty pin. I mean, I'm not going to hardly feel it. Stick it out. And they say, count backwards from 10. I have never got to 5 yet. Amen. Somewhere around 8, 7. 7's God, perfect number. Hallelujah. So, amen. Somewhere around 7 or 6. Amen. Amen. I just goes off somewhere. I don't know where I am, but I'm not there. And that's exactly where I don't want to be. Can you say amen? I'm gone. I don't know what they're doing. I did look over at the tray one time. Scared me. I saw a little hammer. A little steel hammer. I saw something that looked like a little chisel. Stainless steel chisel. I could just visualize him, you know, cracking on that tooth. And I saw things you dig in the gums with to get down there and get the pieces out. Amen. But I thought, I don't care. I don't care. I'm not going to be here. When all of that takes place, I'm going to be gone. Praise God. I do not want to be here. Amen. And going under was so wonderful. And I loved the sound with my mouth packed with gauze. You know, waking up, you know, old bloody gums, waking up, mouth packed with gauze. And somebody said, Mr. Venable, it's time to wake up. And I thought, no. I'm a pastor. I need my rest. This chair is so comfortable. I just won't lay here for a while. Amen. People call for pastor. No, he can't talk. He just had a tooth pulled. Just let me lay here. But they make me get up, and then I crawl in the back seat like an old dog for Pamela to take me home. And I'm still under, and I don't want to come out fully. I crawl in the back seat. I didn't say I got in the back seat. I crawl up in the back seat and lay over like this. Hallelujah. Praise God. And then it wears off and everything's fine. Praise the Lord. Grinning with bloody gums. God's word of wisdom. One word from the Lord that you can hear and give heed, and me can dispel every fear, can wipe away every tear. His presence in your life will give you peace down under the ocean. This guy didn't know whether he was going to be set free from that or die right there. But whatever happened, the peace showed up when he could sense the presence of Jesus. He said, Jesus was in there with me. You say, well, I can hear the critics now. Well, his brain was not getting enough oxygen. And he began to imagine things. Amen. Listen, there's always somebody somewhere that's not going to acknowledge that there is a God in heaven that can that did in fact come down to earth. And when he left here, amen, he said, I won't leave you comfortless, orphanless. I will never leave you alone, but I will come back to you. Can you say amen? And in the Holy Spirit, is more than power and anointing and gifts and revelations. He came back to us. And He is the author. And He is the finisher. And in His presence there's fullness of joy. And He is the Prince of Peace. And if you don't walk with Him, nobody can give you peace. Grace allows Him to be manifest to you by the Holy Spirit. And peace comes when you sense Him with you. Everybody say Him with me. Him. Praise God. Hallelujah! And the church is looking for a clinical psychologist that goes to church to solve those oppressions and those problems and those depressions that only He can heal. The living water comes from Him. Amen. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He knows what you need. He's a faithful high priest. Hallelujah. And He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And the Bible said, let us come boldly where? To Him, the throne of grace, where He sits in intercession for us, that we might obtain mercy and grace to help us in the time of our need. Hallelujah. But if we don't ever get hooked up to Him, then we run like scared rabbits, church to church, minister to minister, evangelist to evangelist, looking for what only He can give us. But Paul wouldn't have you hook up to Him in His anointing. Paul said, I'm going to give you a spiritual gift to this end, that you might be established, made at one with God and with Christ, so that you know Him. He's relevant to you. He answers you. If you're afflicted, pray. If you can't pray, that's your issue. Not your problem, not your pressure, not your circumstance, but your incomplete relationship with Christ. Amen? Some people want to go out of here and do your thing, but you want God to solve your problem when it gets really tough. Your problem is doing your thing. You get rid of that and get in a fellowship walk with Him, He'll help you. He'll lift you. Amen. You say, Brother Bimble, I don't like that kind of preaching. I'm very uncomfortable. I'm not coming back here anymore. Listen to me. Listen to me. Amen. You can go anywhere you want to, but you're going to have to deal with God at some point in your life. And you're going to have to deal with that book right there, His Word. Can you say amen? Is any afflicted? Let him pray. If you're sick, call the elders. So many afflicted people want to sit in a chair and have everybody gather around them and solve all their problems. He said, no, let them pray. Why? Because Elisha, he was a man of flesh and blood and passions and discouragements, and everything that could touch us touched him. He was a man of like passions, it went on to say in the book of James, just like we are. But he prayed. Hallelujah. The effectual, fervent prayer of someone playing church, no. Of a righteous man.
Yes, come on.
Sinlessly perfect, no. But perfectly committed to following Jesus, yes. Stumble sometimes and have to get up, yes. But unchangingly, unswervingly committed to following Jesus. Availeth much. Power is released. And presence is made available. And in His presence there's fullness. Of the only thing that can give you the strength to overcome. Church needs to be more than an encounter with a preacher that can rightfully divide the word. Church needs to be a God encounter.
Yes.
Can you say amen? We need to encounter God at church. How anybody can just listen to a good sermon and be satisfied is beyond me. I expect more than the preacher to preach. I expect more than that. Hallelujah. I expect God to show up. I expect Him to help me when I'm hurting. I expect Him to hear me when I'm crying. I expect Him to hold me, amen, when I'm fearful. I expect Him to lift me up when I'm cast down. Hallelujah. In short, I expect God to help me. Because if He didn't, I'm done for. You've heard the story in closing of a little boy and a little girl. I got a camper top to put on my little S10 out there. But I wouldn't want to be in a... There's a thunderstorm just went north of us just missed us and went up, hit Highway 98 and laid down a whole bunch of power poles. Boy, that was a wind gust. I wouldn't want to be in my S10 when that happened. Shauna, don't want to be in the S10. It's too light. I want to be in a semi-tractor trailer with anchors, hurricane anchors. Hallelujah. But a little boy out with his mom and daddy and little old bitty pickup truck, one of them little camper things on the back. They got out on a lake fishing. Storm caught them. Hail. Can you imagine hail hitting that little old tin thing on the back of a truck? It sounds about four times as loud as it does. And they're sitting huddled in the back of that little camper thing. And they start praying because suddenly over the little radio that the dad had, you know, little portable radio, there comes tornado warnings for that very area, that there's one down, there's a touchdown, and the old truck is shaking, the hail is hitting it, and the family joins hands, begin to pray together. And they start praying together, and dad prays for a covering for his family, and mom prays for dad and the children, and the sister prays, oh Lord, help us, deliver us, don't let the storm hurt us. And they come to five-year-old Johnny. And five-year-old Johnny, boy, he's ready to pray. He's been waiting for his turn. He said, Lord, I want you to protect daddy. I want you to protect mommy. And I want you to protect my sister. And I want you to protect me. And Lord, take care of yourself. Because if anything happens to you, we're all sunk. That's an honest prayer from the heart. Can you say amen? If something happens to you, we're all sunk. Listen, church, if God don't show up, if all we got is a staff of well-qualified, highly educated psychologists to help us, and we don't know how to pray, can you say amen? If we got counselors that know the Bible from cover to cover, but we have no relationship with God that's workable to give us any peace or any power in our life. Honey, we need the Holy Ghost back, not just anointed preachers and appointed preachers. We need God, or we're all sunk. Little trivia this morning as we close. The divorce rate among divorce counselors is exactly that of the people they counsel. Go figure. Can you say amen? Doesn't mean there's not some good counsel. It means you got to live this out. You got to walk it out. The only one can help you walk something out that conquers this old flesh and gets rid of these old attitudes is Jesus. And you bow to Him and you discover Him. That man down in that oil rig, he said that presence stayed with me. And I didn't know if I would live or die, but I had peace because of the presence that was with me. Try achieving that peace without His presence. Go for it. Just try to get your mind trained not to worry. Honey, those thoughts will come crashing in that you don't have to invite them. And you can't bar the door against certain concerns. They just show up. And they show up when they shouldn't show up, but they'll just show up. Especially you're fatigued, you're under the pressures of life. Amen. But when Jesus comes alongside, when you sense the presence of the Lord, suddenly you feel like you can make it. You can take it. You can overcome. You don't even have to know the answer because you know He is the answer. And He has the answer. Praise God. Hallelujah. It all changes. Grace allows the manifest presence of God. Hallelujah. Holy God can come to you where you are. Praise God. And manifest Himself to you. And in that manifestation, peace reigns. Nothing can make you fear anymore. You can die with that over top of you. Praise God. This guy said, I didn't know if I was going to die or live, but I knew whatever happened, He was with me.
That's right.
And I had peace down there in that hole in the dark. And he said, suddenly he thought he was hallucinating. He said, a little light appeared in the water, deep in the darkness of that water. A little light, a little beam of light appeared. And it came closer and got brighter. And he said, suddenly, a diver broke the water underneath there with a light. And he had extra oxygen and gave it to him. And he said, then that sense of that presence was gone. He didn't need that grace manifestation of the presence of God, because now God had sent the deliverance to him. And suddenly, slowly, so they wouldn't have to decompress, slowly they inched their way up to the surface. But he said, I'll never forget when Jesus came to me in the bottom of that that oil rig down underneath the Gulf of Mexico and waited with me until deliverance came. And the good news about this peace was, he said it wasn't a peace because Jesus said, I'm going to deliver you. It was just a peace of having him there with him. In other words, if I die, I will still have peace because he's with me. Can you say, man? That's why David said, whither shall I go from thy spirit? If I take the wings of the morning and fly out over the midst of the sea, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. Can you say, man? Even there in the grave, your hand shall uphold me. I will never be alone because of your presence and power. Church had better get back to getting people established in him, so that we have Christians that can call on God.
Yeah.
Amen. I was at a pastor's meeting. We were talking about pastors all getting together and trying to get an insurance program for pastors, a group thing, so many pastors. And you know one reason an insurance company turned it down when it was offered? Amazing, according to television. It was on television. Because too many of us let ourselves go because we're not physically active anymore. And we're just a sick bunch. And they said, we don't want a bunch of preachers that are high blood pressure, under stress all the time, stressed out, and physically unfit. That's a combination for hospital bills. Wow, I says. I don't want to be one of those guys. Amen. While preaching healing and deliverance and buffeting my body. Sean said, not buffet my body. Amen. You better come tonight and hear this man preach. He's already geared up. Praise God. Amen. He's going to talk about buffeting our body. Ain't nobody coming to church. You never tell them what you're going to preach on when it's something like that. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't God good today? How many want to see more than me on Sunday morning? How many want to sense that he's here? How many want to see the sick here? Amen. Hallelujah. How many want to see devils cast out and dethroned? Praise God. Hallelujah. How many want to see people that are so bound up sitting at Jesus' feet,
yeah,
clothing in their right mind?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let him confirm his word. And signs follow. Well, we didn't get to the 400 across. Let's talk about Jesus and you can get that message. Sister, would you come and serve us Holy Communion today? Are you ready to receive it? This is talk in this meal. There's a call to an intimate, personal relationship with the one who loved you and gave himself for you. If you ever hook up to him and get established in him, you won't fall away. You can achieve peace in your life through the Prince of Peace. God loves you today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Father. Praise the Lord. Did I give you a number one, please? Let's just love him today. Have you got any?